All right, Wednesday, 10:30, 24. The title of this is Faith's Corresponding Action. All right, have you ever caught yourself asking the Lord when He's going to do something about your situation? Anybody in the room? You didn't raise your hand. Have you got a testimony? Far too many people are sitting in that situation and they're waiting on God to do something. Lord, why don't you do something? All right, we're going to look tonight that it's not really in His position to do anything. It's in ours. All right, He's waiting on you. He's put the ball in your court. This, I want to read to you. This is Faith to Faith by Kenneth Copeland. Let me remember which one it was. Yeah, there it is. It was today. He says, it's your decision. And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw Jesus, he fell at his feet and besought him, greatly saying, my little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. And Jesus went with him. I wonder when God is going to do something about this problem. Have you ever asked that question? If so, you may be surprised to find out that the answer depends 100% on you. There's an incident in Mark 5 that will show you what I mean. Jesus had just gotten out of a boat and people were pressing all around him, thronging him. And it says, they had him shoved up against the shoreline when suddenly there came a man moving through the crowd to get to Jesus. Throwing himself at Jesus' feet, Mark records, he prays and beseeches him greatly, saying, my little daughter lies at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, and she shall live. The faith got Jesus' attention. Think about this situation for a moment. Here's a man who's politically on the level of the mayor of the city. But he's so doggedly determined to get to Jesus that he fights his way through the crowd, kind of like the one with the issue of blood, and clears out enough room to fall at Jesus' feet. He's made a decision, and when he gets to Jesus, he says exactly what it is. Lay your hands on her, and she shall live. Let me ask you something. Who do you think is directing the ministry of Jesus here? This one man. A man who's made a decision. When he speaks that decision out, Jesus doesn't say anything. He just stops what he's doing, turns around, and follows him. In a crowd of literally thousands, the faith decision of one man is directing the actions of Jesus. What does that mean to you? It means that if you're sitting around waiting for Jesus to decide to heal you, for Jesus to decide to help you, for Jesus to decide to prosper you and give you victory, you're in for a long wait because that's not Jesus' decision. It's yours. All right. We're going to read that account here. This is Mark chapter 5, 21. When I read that this morning, sometimes I'll just read something or just a thought, it just triggers something in me. All right, Mark 5, 21. And when Jesus was passed over again by ship unto the other side, much people gathered unto him, and he was nigh unto the sea. And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet, besought him greatly, saying, my little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, and she may be healed, and she shall live. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. All right, let's pick up with 35. Because we know the woman with issue of blood comes up during that time and she makes a demand by faith on that anointing. And she gets it. 35, while he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further? As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he saith unto the ruler of the synagogue, be not afraid, only believe. In other words, don't get off your faith stand because of a bad report. And he suffered no man to follow him, save Peter and James and John, the brother of James. And he cometh into the house of the ruler of the synagogue and seeth the tumult, and then that wept and wailed greatly. And when he was come in, he saith unto them, why make ye this ado and weep? The devil's not dead, but sleepeth. Do you know Jesus? He was a man of faith. Do you know Jesus did not independently work in his own power? It was Father's power. Father's a faith God. And they laughed him to scorn. So Jesus had to maintain his sense of faith too, not just Jairus. And they laughed him to scorn, but when he had put them all out, see, he knew better. Get them gainsayers out of here. We don't want to disrupt this. But when he put them all out, kick them out. If you're going to be full of doubt, just get out. That's basically what he said here. He taketh the father and mother of the damsel and them that were with him and entered in where the damsel was lying. He took the damsel by the hand and said unto her, Talitha kumi, which is being interpreted, damsel, I say unto thee, arise. And straightway the damsel arose and walked. She was the age of 12 years, and they were astonished with great astonishment. And he charged them straightly that no man should know it, and commanded that something should be given her to eat. In other words, you stay in faith concerning her. Don't you start coddling her and treating her sick. You understand? Very important. Okay, my point here. After I read this, the Lord brought to my mind Pharaoh. Pharaoh, we're going to look just at a little piece of something Pharaoh said. This is Exodus chapter 8. I'll start with verse 1. Well, you're going to hear it again. And the Lord spake unto Moses, going to Pharaoh, and saying to him, thus saith the Lord, let my people go, that they may serve me. And if thou refuse to let them go, behold, I will smite all thy borders with frogs, and the river shall bring forth frogs abundantly. I got to thinking, Lord, I said, we've had a lot of frogs lately. Just problems. We shall go up and come into thine house and into thy bedchamber and upon thy bed and into the house of thy servants and upon thy people and into thine ovens and into thy kneading troughs. And the frog shall come up both on thee and upon thy people and upon all thy servants. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying to Aaron, stretch forth thy hand with thy rod over the streams, over the rivers, and over the ponds, and cause the frogs to come up behind the land of Egypt, or upon the land of Egypt. And Aaron stretched out his hand over the waters of Egypt, and the frogs came up and covered the land of Egypt. And the magicians did so with their enchantments and brought up frogs upon the land of Egypt. Then Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron and said, entreat the Lord that he may take away the frogs from me and from my people. And I will let the people go that they may do sacrifice unto me. And Moses said unto Pharaoh, glory over me, when shall I entreat for thee and for thy servants and for thy people to destroy the frogs from thee and thy houses, that they may remain in the river only? And he said, tomorrow. You think it's odd? Tomorrow? Face now. Not tomorrow. I just always thought that was interesting. Tomorrow? Be it according to thy word, that thou mayest know that there's none like unto the Lord our God. Faith is not tomorrow. Faith is today. Hebrews 11:1 says that. Let's go look at Hebrews 11:1. All right, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So now, we're at now. Faith is now. Faith is now. All right, we have it now or we don't have it at all. Think about that. We have it now or we won't have it at all. When we exercise faith, it will be now. I'm not trying to confuse you. All right. It's not tomorrow or someday out there. See, we're sitting around waiting for God to do something for us, but he has put it in us to act just like him. And when he saw his situation in Genesis 1, what did he do? Well, his spirit meditated over the problem, but God spoke light be and light was. So he created everything that way. All right. The walk of faith is the walk that we walk now. Now. We walk it now, not tomorrow. We're not to take a thought about tomorrow, so there is only faith for now, okay? The movie Facing the Giants and what Mr. Bridges said about the two farmers. He told him, he said, there was two farmers that prayed for rain. But only one farmer went out and prepared his field for the rain. Which one acted in faith? The one that prepared for the rain to come, like it was actually coming. The other one could have prayed until the cows came home, and he wouldn't have seen a thing because he wasn't acting in faith. All right. Both prayed for rain, but only one prepared. How do we prepare? I think we have to get a mental picture in our minds of what we want. Meditate on what we want, the picture image of what we want. That's what God did in Genesis 1. All right, which one was in faith? The one that prepared his fields, right? If you really believe the frogs are gone, how would you actually act? Would you drag around? Sad, depressed, don't want to go nowhere, don't want to do anything, just everything just negative and it's just blah. Is that how faith, a person of faith would act? A person of faith would act like, well, I'm going to act like what I want, right? If you go to John chapter 4. I'm going to look at 46. So Jesus came again into Cana of Galilee where he made the water wine, and there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum. And when he heard that Jesus was come out of Judea into Galilee, he went unto him and besought him that he would come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. And Jesus saith unto him, except ye see signs and wonders, ye will not believe. See, we're wanting to see, before we'll exercise any faith, we want to see it already done. But it doesn't operate that way. The nobleman said unto him, sir, come down ere my child die. Jesus saith unto him, go thy way, thy son liveth. And the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him, and he went his way. When he was now going down, his servants met him and told him, saying, thy son liveth. Then inquired he of them the hour when he began to mend. And they said unto him, yesterday at the seventh hour the fever left him. So the father knew that it was at the same hour in the which Jesus said unto him, thy son liveth, and himself believed in his whole house. Now, I don't like what they put here. This is, again, the second miracle that Jesus did when he was come out of Judea into Galilee. Could you consider that a miracle? It was just simply an act of faith. Jesus spoke the word, and the man believed it. See, that's what's so terrible about especially the church. Every time anybody gets anything, oh, it's a miracle. Oh, it's a miracle. No, it's faith. It's believing by faith. And there is a gift of miracles, don't get me wrong. But believing by faith. This is why he took him at his word, just like we do. We take God at his word, that what his word says, he will perform it. And he had to do it while his son was at the point of death. All right, seeing is not believing, but believing is seeing. Right. Well, you must believe your frogs are gone by faith before they're gone. Jesus taught his disciples about this. This is Mark 11. Mark 11. go over there because this is really the faith principle. We're going to start there with verse 11. Jesus came to teach the kingdom. What is the kingdom way? The way of faith. And Jesus entered into Jerusalem, verse 11, and into the temple. And when he had looked round about upon all things, and now the eventide was come, he went out into Bethany with the 12. And on the morrow, when they were come from Bethany, he was hungry, and seen a fig tree afar off, having leaves, he came, if haply he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not yet. And Jesus answered and said unto it, no man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. And the disciples heard it. Did he hate the fig tree? No. He was teaching his disciples to walk by faith. And they come to Jerusalem, and Jesus went into the temple and began to cast out them that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of the money changers, and the seats of them that sold doves. You notice he didn't go back to check to see if the tree was dried up? And would not suffer that any man should carry any vessel through the temple. And he taught, saying unto them, it is written, my house shall be called of all nations a house of prayer, but you've made it a den of thieves. So he just went about his business. He spoke, and he didn't doubt that is what he spoke. He didn't have to go back and look. He went on about the Father's business. And the scribes and chief priests heard it and sought how they might destroy him, for they feared him, because all the people were astonished at his doctrine. And when evening was come, he went out of the city. And in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, calling to remembrance, saith unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursest is withered away. Jesus Christ said, so? What'd you expect? And Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God. Do you know God's word is the same as Jesus' word? It is. Verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, a frog, whatever you want to call it, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he says shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. This is a faith principle. All the faith teachers teach it. A lot of people read it, but I don't know if they do it. All right. Remember this principle about the kingdom of God. It's all about the inner life. See, they were coming out of a covenant. It was all external. There was no spiritual. They didn't have the capability. Because the connection between them and God had been cut off. All right. It will happen in the spirit first. See, when you make the decree, it begins to come to pass in the spirit first, and then it's manifest in the natural. Oh. When it happens in the spirit, it will begin to manifest in the natural realm. Jesus' word is the same as God's word. Genesis 1. I'm not going to read it. You know it. I've read it so many times. It's like Matthew 6. God said, light be, light was, and he followed on down and created everything that way, that day, by faith. All right, now go to James. You know why we get so much flack? Because we walk by faith. People that don't walk by faith don't have this kind of flack. Like I was telling Danny, I said, it's not there's anything wrong with us, there isn't. We are just in the combat zone. All right, James 2, this is 17 and 18. Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. What are your works? Acting like it's done. Yeah. Okay, faith is a law, and it works when it is called upon to do so. It is a law that has been put in motion, the law of faith. This is, where's the scripture? This is Romans 3. It's a supernatural law. Now, people can have natural faith, but that's not the same. Start with 21. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the rightness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. This covenant is by faith. We believe in our heart and confess with our mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord. That's how we become born again. It's by faith. The first action as a Christian, or even before you become a Christian, is by faith. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood. Without faith, it is impossible to please God, Hebrews 11:6, it says. To declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God, to declare, I say, at that time, His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. This isn't a mantra. Even the word of faith has been turned into a mantra. And I can tell you, because when push comes to shove, they'll go seek out other means. If those mantras worked, they'd be in high cotton. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. For is he the God of the Jews only? Is he not also the Gentiles? Yes, of the Gentiles also. Seeing it is one God which shall justify the circumcised by faith and the uncircumcised through faith. Do we then make void the law through faith? God forbid. Yea, we establish the law. See, God's been a faith God from the very beginning. He doesn't change. Same yesterday, today, and forever. That's always been His plan. All right, Jesus taught the kingdom of God. He taught the faith walk. Go with me to Matthew 9. Is this making sense? Okay, hope so. And he entered into a ship and passed over and came into his own city. And behold, they brought to him a man sick of the palsy. Well, I'd be sick of it too. Lying on a bed, and Jesus, seeing their faith, and said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee. And behold, certain of the scribes said within themselves, This man blasphemeth. And Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, Wherefore think ye evil in your hearts? For whether it is easier to say, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Arise and walk. But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, then saith he to the sick of the palsy, Arise, take up thy bed, and go into thine house. And he arose and departed to his house. And when the multitude saw it, they marveled and glorified God, which had given such power unto men. He just hacked it out in faith. Jesus said, rise up and walk. Did Jesus perform a miracle? No. He gave him the word. And the guy said, okay, and he got up and walked. Jesus taught the people how to walk by faith. That's how he went about healing. More times than not, there was a corresponding action to whatever they, you know, the problem was. Jesus would give them, like the centurion. He said, I'm not coming to your house. You just believe it. Your son will live. And he started back home. He believed the word. Oh, do we believe God today? Is it just all just the religious thing that we do? I tell you, it works when you put it into action, most definitely. Jesus taught them to act by faith. This is Mark 2. Either we're faith people or we're not. It's easy to be faith people when nothing's out of sorts. Okay. Mark 2, 1. And again, he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noise that he was in the house. And straightway, many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them, no, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them. And they come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. And when they could not come nigh to him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when he had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. But there were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, Why doth this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? So they missed everything God was doing because they were just so steeped in their religious traditions. And immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, Why reason ye these things in your hearts? Rather it is easier to say to the sick of the palsy, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Arise and take up thy bed and walk. But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, he saith unto the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, Arise, take up thy bed, and go thy way into thine house. And immediately he arose, took up the bed, and went forth before them all, insomuch as they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, We've never seen it on this fashion. Most people today have never seen it on a fashion either. By faith. Everything about Jesus was by faith. We receive him by faith. John chapter 5. In the book, I've mentioned this before, but in the series The Chosen, one of the episodes is this incident. And the guy sitting there, with his crutch and everything. Maybe it's not that one, but anyway, one that was lame. And Jesus will rise up and walk, and the guy's looking at him like, and Jesus is kind of has to get a smile on his face. He goes, rise and walk. It's up to you. Yeah. All right. John 5. Did I say that? Mm-hmm. Okay. Starting with verse 1. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. Let me say this, especially if you've had long-term things. If you are looking, instead of rising up and walking, you're always looking to see if the symptoms are gone. Understand? All right. And these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, a blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first, after the troubling of the water, stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there, which had an infirmity 38 years. That's a long time. When Jesus saw him lying, knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he saith unto him, Wilt thou be made whole? Like it's even an option? He put the ball in his court, didn't he? I've been waiting on God for 38 years. And Jesus says, Would you be made whole? It's like he just pitched it off of him onto him. The impotent man answered him, Sir, I have no man with the water's trouble to put me into the pool. Ever meet those kind? But while I'm coming, another steppeth down before me. Jesus said unto him, Rise, take up thy bed and walk. Immediately the man was made whole and took up his bed and walked, and on the same day was the Sabbath. 38 years. He finally got it. This is the highest form of faith as a believer that I believe that you can walk in, and we're going to look at Paul. Now, we know Paul had lots of things come against him. Let's go to chapter 28. Y'all know this, but do you really know it? You know it, but do you know it? You know you can have head knowledge of a lot of things, but to really know it, There is a difference. All right, verse 1. When they were escaped, then they knew that the island was called Melita. And the barbarous people showed us no little kindness, for they kindled a fire and received us every one because of the present rain and because of the cold. When Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, there came a viper out of the heat and fastened on his hand. Now, I don't believe for a minute the man did not feel it. I believe he felt the pain. He might have felt it for days. His hand might have been swollen up. When the barbarians saw the venomous beast hang on his hand, they said among themselves, no doubt this man is a murderer, whom though he hath escaped the sea, yet vengeance serveth not to live. And he shook off the beast into the fire and felt no harm. Why? Because he had trouble everywhere he went. And he learned to trust God by faith. Howbeit, when they looked, when he should have swollen or fallen down dead suddenly, but after they had looked a great while and saw no harm come to him, they changed their minds and said that he was a god. How would most people react today? Oh, you better call an ambulance. I don't believe for a minute he didn't feel it. All right. Now I want to get to the nitty-gritty of this today. And I want you to please hear me. Old age is a mindset. Old age is a mindset. Everything the devil has infiltrated this earth with is to make us old and to die so he can steal your assets. He's a thief. So, if he can't compromise you there, he can't compromise you anywhere else. And whether you feel like it or not, when does that have anything to do with anything? You get up and you just hit it. And a lot of times when you do, before you know it, you realize what was trying to keep you from just laying around all day and in there anymore. This is a walk of faith, y'all. I know it's not, you know, maybe it's not popular. A lot of people do not have the discipline to do it. They just go with the system, go with the flow. They just shrivel and die. That's what the devil wants them to do. That's what this system is all about. Okay. I'm sure the Social Security system was set up just for that purpose. And the sicker they can make you through their blame stream media or whatever, the more they can convince you, you'll buy their poisons and you'll just waste away to nothing. And they'll come in and confiscate everything you got. That's his agenda. He has no other agenda. Okay, let me see what else I put down here. Never let the devil win and get victory over you. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Not this. The same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. That same spirit in you, in him, will raise you up just like it raised him up. But let me say this. If you're looking to get everything ironed out and you look like you're 20, you can probably forget that part of it. You're going to have to learn to walk by faith in what you have and where you are in life and not let it affect you. Everybody hears youth renewal and they think, I think it's mind renewal. If you want youth renewal, you need mind renewal. God's will is youth. How do you get your mind renewed? Well, God's word. Believing God's word. That's why people like Moses at 80 is leading the nation of Israel out of Egypt. And he died early. All right. Your mantra should be, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. I don't care. I'm doing it. I'm not buying the lie. I'm not doing it. You have to make a decision to get off your butt and get up and go and do. All right. All right here. Think about Tina Turner. You know, what's age got to do with it? She used to say, it's nothing more than a secondhand emotion. I said, it's nothing more than a secondhand illusion. It's Satan's illusion to try to convince you, well, you're old and you're decrepit and you ain't worth nothing and you did that. Well, you know what? Shame on you for listening. I'll tell you what, that television will make you stupid. It has. It's made a lot of people stupid. They've totally bought Satan's lie, hook, line, and sinker, following his plan all the way down. All right, nearly done here. In Acts, we see the apostles doing the same thing that Jesus did. They all acted on Jesus' word. It's not any different today. Faith is now, today. Today is your day. All right.